Good morning, everyone. It's a little bit different today because we're going to have an ordination a little bit later. But today, all over the world, many people are celebrating what is called Easter. And there will be a lot of elaborate ceremonies, I'm sure, and hopefully all of it will be very honoring to our wonderful and holy God. But today, instead of going over all of the crucifixion and what happened and what led up to that, many here are familiar with that. I want to talk just a little bit about Jesus rose from the dead, but have you risen from the dead? Now, in your handout, it talks about the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Chris, but that's a typo. It should be Christ. So I just want you to understand we're not talking about the resurrection of Chris. It's the resurrection of Christ. So I just wanted to clarify that for us today. So bless the Lord. You know, the Lord knows how to keep everyone humble, you know. So this is the perfection is in Jesus, not in our details of life here. And I'd like to go over a couple of things today before we have we're going to combine this with a life in Christ. And death has no sting in Jesus. This is so, so powerful. Now, if anyone hasn't noticed, we all die. Everything dies. So you are going to die. That is a fact. What goes on after that, you can debate until you get there. As Pastor Mark has very often said, there's going to be a mile-long line of diarrhea leading up to the throne of God. So make sure you get yourself cleaned out here so you can get up there. It makes it very, very simple. I do want to take just a moment. All of those who were either are in the military now or were in the military, would you please stand? We have some wonderful, wonderful warriors, and if you remain standing for just a minute, we talked about warriors. We, myself included, have served our country and served it well. We were willing, and I would venture to say still are, willing to lay our lives down. If you're a veteran or serving in the military, a veteran, please stand. Thank you very much, ma'am. We were willing to lay our lives down for our country. A wonderful, God-blessed country that I love today. There's a war going on all over. We're willing to fight the physical wars to defend our land. But are we willing to fight the spiritual wars that are going on? We can fight and win a physical war. But my heart grieves because I wonder, are we producing enough people that can fight a spiritual war to keep all of this going? So I want us to keep that in mind. I thank you for your service. I am deeply touched by all of those here that have served and are serving now. And some of you met in the military and married. And Pastor Mark and Shirley, she was a nurse in Vietnam with me. And he was an admin, but he saw the light and came over and became a med tech. So and we have many that have served in different capacities. So thank you, warriors. Please be seated. Just wanted to acknowledge that today. Now, in today's message, I want us to understand a little something. Why are we dead? Because we're always talking about death. You know, so I'm walking around, I'm alive, I'm not dead. I was dead in my sins. And as a young nurse in the military, I was just doing all the craziest things, which I'm not going to mention here. He says to confess your sins one to another, but that's not going to happen today. Read my book, DMR5, some of it's in there. But anyways, how do we rise and once risen? It's not this robot life. Don't be a zombie. This is a wonderful, vibrant life in the Lord. Now, God has a tremendous love for us. And we have to understand this. He is not this wrathful God up there that has been so erroneously depicted. The adversary is in the business of deception and lies. And he has been very good. He is the one who has framed up who God is. And he's dead wrong. He does it as a lie, so you'll turn away from a God that loves you. God, it says right there in Romans 5:8, well, I don't read the Bible, I don't believe in the Bible. Doesn't make any difference. God has a call on your heart. Just listen to Him. Don't get caught up in religion. Get caught up in relationship. Yeah. Mankind, born with a broken thinker, feeler in water. This broken thinker has messed up who God is, and they present it and print all sorts of stuff and teach it. He is not a wrathful God in terms of just sitting there waiting as some providential prude, waiting for you to sin so He can squash you like a bug. No! This is a God who loves us. Because of what Adam did, we were born broken. Not because of what God did. He made it perfect, all together, lovely. Men and women even got along. Adam and Eve got along. Wow, isn't that a unique idea? They didn't have to work with their hands. All was provided. I go hiking, you have to filter your water, you do all... The water was pure, the food was pure, the air was pure. I have to worry about the EPA and climate change. All this garbage out there. The earth was cursed after Adam sinned and separated from God. The body was cursed. That's why we die. That's why babies die. That's why there's war. Not because God did it. He said, this is the end result of death entering into that which I made perfect. So God says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Don't believe that crap out there that says you got to be perfected before you come to God. You can't. You're broken. You're dead. I call us Adam's crack babies. He's the one who had the problem. We're born disabled. But God knows we come out in a wheelchair spiritually, so to speak. That's why He loves us so much. I don't expect for you to do these things. You can't. You're broken. But if you let me inside, just let Jesus Christ inside. You can be in the bathroom, in the car, your living room. You don't even have to be in the church. Jesus, forgive me. Come inside. Not information, transformation. Help me. I don't even understand all this, but whatever happened, whatever your covenant is, I want to come under it in Jesus Christ. Your life will change from that moment on. Not overnight. Sometimes overnight. I changed overnight. So my buds in the military, they go, man, you're no fun anymore. I think I embarrassed them because I wasn't doing everything they used to do. I said, no, I don't think I'll do that. And I'll meet you later. I'll see you later. Well, I changed. I didn't even know what the change was. They were coming up to me and saying, what's wrong with you? I go, I don't know. Is it what's right with me? I don't know. I didn't even know. I had just asked Him to come into my heart. And it wasn't even in a churchy way. I wasn't even all the way sober. I was disappointed about something. And I just said, God, I just want to see. I just want you to be my life. I want you to be as important in my life as I see you in others. The other was Dr. Shirley. She had stopped some of the foolishness before I did. Scared me to death. I went, oh my God. She read the Bible. I thought she was doing all this stuff too. I thought we were all safe. It wasn't until I had an individual relationship with Jesus Christ, not with people, not with pastors, not with churches, then that individual relationship has made the change in my life. Well, you know, we got some standard operating procedures here. I suggest you might want to read them instead of what someone else says they say. And you do it at the feet of the Lord, and He'll make it clear. He doesn't care what you understand. He doesn't care what your education level is. What if you're deaf and you can't hear the teaching? He'll speak to your heart. What if you're blind and you can't read this? He'll talk, He'll talk. Just go to Him. So He demonstrates this wonderful, wonderful life in us. And Jesus rose from the dead. But remember, He had to die first. Jesus is God's Son. Do you understand that? It's God. God came here. We call Him Jesus. He came as a human. Because if He came as Him, we'd all be on our faces going, oh no, oh no, oh no. How could He relate to us? How could He cozy up to us and say, my friend, the one I love, He's too big. It's like the story from Philip Yancey. He had a big fish tank in his office. And He fed the fish and gave them all the special stuff and every single thing they needed. He gave them everything. And yet when He walked up to the tank, they all scattered. He said, you think I do everything for them? You think they could kind of stay around and go, I love you, I love you? They didn't. They scattered. That's how it is with God. If He came as He is, we would scatter. We couldn't be with Him. He came. He became one of us. That's what Yancey said. The only way for me to talk to my fish is if I became one of them and swim around. Jesus became one of us and walked around. to show us you can live a holy life in this crummy body if you let God's Spirit lead you. Not your head, it's a broken thinker. Not what you feel, you got a broken feeler. Not what you want, you got a broken wanter. But in Jesus, now those things are still in me. I either give in to them or I give in to the Spirit of God, which is now in me. Now I got a chance. And every day I have to make that choice, and so do you. But you can't make a choice for Jesus Christ unless he's inside. Information, transformation. Your choice. So, this word picture of Jesus dying, he went to the death. Now, there's a lot more going on. I'm not going to get into that today because we're going to kind of move things along here. I did some time with the Army National Guard as a chaplain, and we only had 30 minutes, you know, for the service, and so we do a little prayer, we do a little song, I do my sermon, you know. I say, do not ever tell my congregation I can wrap this all up in 30 minutes. But anyways, we are gonna do that today. But this word picture is a part of our celebration today. What God was talking about when he talked about dying. Jesus came in the flesh, and then he died. You see, as people that came against God, even though we didn't do the original separation, in that separation we offend God. Our coarseness, our anger, our lust, all of this is a way, it's broken. It's not what God originally intended. It's sort of like your kids always disobeying you. I mean, you have to train them and teach them. But you are so saddened when you see them make mistakes, when you see them do wrong things that are going to lead down a wrong path. Your heart aches for them. If you don't put the edges and the borders on their behavior because you hate them. You put the edges and the borders on their behavior because you love them. You don't want them falling into the sea of life that's full of sharks and poisonous snakes. Same thing with God. He mourns for us. He loves us. Please, you're born broken. If you stay broken, you can't be with me when you die because nothing unclean can be in my presence. It's not your good works. God isn't some judge up there with the scale and go, okay, you got enough good works. If your good works outweigh your bad works, you get in. Baloney. You have to be clean because nothing unclean can be in the presence of God. Now, good works go along with that cleanness, but that's not the criteria. And the cleanness is only in Jesus Christ because, remember, he gave the word picture in the Old Testament. They had to sacrifice the lambs. They had to sacrifice blood that had to be spilled, meaning a death had to be done to pay for the sins. It didn't forgive their sins. It only covered their transgressions back in the Old Testament. It was a word picture of what Jesus did. You are forgiven. Do we understand the horror of whatever we've done, big and little? He's like, oh, I'm not killing anyone, so I'm good. You're lying on your income tax. You're lying to your wife or your husband. You're full of anger, impatience, lust. God knows what's going on. And even if it doesn't manifest outside your home, it's still in your heart. That's what God sees. And he says, I'm the way you can get that straightened. It's so marvelous and so powerful. Jesus gives to us that Easter story is one of love right to the death. And so must we. It's one of unjust suffering. We have to do that. You're going to suffer unjustly in this world. If you're going to do it right, Pastor Mark has lost money in his business because he refused to do it under the table. He wanted to do it right. And sometimes it would cost him. You're going to suffer unjustly. Get over it. The word picture is Jesus. So did he. It's one of being insulted for your righteousness and belittled for obedience. Beware of that. Thinks differently. You don't even want to do it. It's not a matter of a rule. The things that changed in my life were not because I was obeying rules. I hadn't even read the Bible yet. I was 30 years old and never opened the Bible. God changed my life. I would suggest you would read it, but I hadn't at that point. But what a feeling to understand. This whole thing works together. There's a reason why God did everything. And even if you don't understand, it doesn't mean it didn't exist. And doesn't mean that it doesn't what God wanted in his plan. Now, in terms of a few more things, it's one of enduring unfair accusations. So must we. One of forgiving those who have wronged us. So must we. I had a lot of trouble with that one. I kept trying and trying, and it works. One particular instance took about 30 years, but it was gone. Finally able to live without that. in your head and your heart. What freedom that is. It's one of dying to the flesh, so must we. But it's also, I don't want to just have it all, you know, oh yeah, give up and sacrifice. It's also one of glory, both here and in heaven, because he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. This is what he's trying to tell us. The question today is, have you? And no one has to raise their hand or answer that question. You have to answer that question with God. Now, why are we dead? As I said previously, can we spell Adam and sin? That's why we're dead. It's a spiritual death. We all know about physical death. Some of us who have been in nursing, we know about physical death. In wartime, we've seen it. Right there in front of us. It doesn't go away. It remains with you forever. They died. Now, just because you're sitting in a physical body, you can be fooled. Are you dead inside, or are you alive? You and God need to work that through. And we all know about the physical death. And in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, boy, I tell you, this kind of gives a description of most of the units that we were in. But anyways, Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not enter the kingdom of God.
Whoa.
That's physical death. That's physical death. You were born leaning toward that. God says, I'm not angry with you. You're leaning toward that because you were born broken. But if you ask Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, to come within you, you'll have a new way of thinking, a new way of wanting, a new way of desiring, just a new everything. He talks about crucifying the flesh. That's what you do. These same stupid ideas still come up in my head. These feelings come up in my head. These desires still come up. But what I do now is I crucify. I go, no way. Sometimes I don't go no way soon enough, but then I get back to it. No way. I don't want that. The new way is a better way. Thank you, Lord. He's the one who does it in me because I can't do what he says to do. But when I do, instead of having that other garbage rule, guess what? Spiritual resurrection. Galatians 5, 22 to 24. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what Jesus is in you. It's what everyone's looking for. Nirvana. That was a band. No, but whatever. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, hello, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. I remember reading that. I go, oh, you know, that's true. There's all sorts of laws against the ones that I just read previously, the death of the flesh. Wow. I think we have like 350,000 laws on the books in the United States to keep the Ten Commandments, help us keep the Ten, you know? And I always tell them when I speak in the high schools and stuff, I tell them, hey, you've all heard of the Ten Commandments. You don't like the first four that talk about God, at least do the last six, the whole world will change. Then you die and go to hell because you didn't do the first four. And they all go, what did she just say? Yeah. God is a God. He is worthy to be praised. He is high and far above it all. And you have a choice. He cannot be a perfectly... Why did he give us a choice? Why did he just make us like... Because he can't be a perfectly just God without giving you a choice. You have to be able to choose him in order to get to heaven, to be clean. It has to be voluntary. It would be spiritual rape if he forced himself on you. This has to be voluntary. Submit yourself to God. This is what is so, so powerful. Think on that. Think on these things. We are wrapping up here. Now, how do we rise? You ask, how can I do this? Romans 8, 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, as we all talk about today, will also give what? Life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. I had to read that because I didn't make up what I just said. I'm not making this stuff up. It's not my idea of what he says. This is what he says, and it's up to you. I'm not following you around.
Did you hear what I said? Have you done this? Have you done?
I'm not following you around. It's not me you have to make your restoration with. Like in the army, you know, I go up there and I go, standing with the group, they'd be about 20, 30 soldiers. They go through all the stuff that they go through. And then one of them would recognize me and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, chaplain. I'm sorry I said that. Didn't know you were here." I would tell them, "Listen, it's not me that you offended. It's him. You're going to have to work that out with God." I tell them, "I'm just a sales rep. I'm just here to tell you what God has said. It's up to you to choose. You're not going to be able to go to God and say, 'Well, no one told me,' because God's going to speak to you. If you live on an island someplace and there's no Bible and no anything, no radio, no internet, no nothing, God's going to come to you in a dream because he doesn't want that anyone would perish. He's put a light into everyone that's come into the world. He wants to turn that thing on. You either snuff it out by your own choice, not by circumstance or accident, or you open it up to him and let him come in voluntarily." Verses 1, 4, and 6. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." I know I was. I was in Vietnam. I could have been killed. If I died there, I would have been in hell. I know what I'm talking about, a rescue. I was on an aircraft one time at McGuire Air Force Base. We were heading over to England. It was a training flight. It wasn't actual patients on the mission. We were bumped off the flight because they had to bump us for cargo. We all complained because we want to go to England. They sent us to South Carolina. We go, "What's in South Carolina?" About 3 o'clock in the morning, by the time we even got into the plane, into our quarters, my commander called and said, "Have your crew call their family. The plane you were on just went down in England, and there are no survivors. There was a wind shear ripped off the right wing, and that 141 went down into the ground. God spared me." It doesn't mean everyone who dies, they didn't make it. That's between them and God. God knows what's going on. But God had a plan, and he wasn't going to let any of my foolishness and my ignorance, because he knew my heart would be consumed with him once I knew, let him get to you. You don't even have to say anything special. Say, "Okay, God, some things are hitting me today. I think I need to have a little talk with you." It says, "And you were dead in your trespass, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Whoa. Man, you don't even get to sit at the head banquet table when you go to a military banquet. We're going to sit with him in heavenly places. Now again, like I said, once risen, don't be a zombie. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." But will you sin after that? Well, yes, I have. I fought it. I didn't feel good about it before. I didn't see anything wrong with it. But now with Jesus Christ inside, I might still fall. I might still sin upon occasion. But I don't feel good about it. I feel convicted. "God, I'm sorry. Forgive me." He'll forgive you every time. It's not an excuse. His mercy is not an excuse. You just go on sinning. But his love and his forgiveness covers us even after we come to know him. So don't be frightened about this walk. Don't be frightened that you can't do it. It's not you doing it. It's you submitting to his spirit within you to do it. And in Titus 3:2, "To malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle." Guys, be gentle with your children. Be gentle with your wife. Gentle. "Showing every consideration for all men." And in Ephesians 4:24, "Put on the new self." See, it's a put on. You got to do it voluntary. "Which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." You say you can't do it? In Jesus Christ, it's been told that you can. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel 11:19, "And I shall give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I shall take the heart of stone that you're born with," that crack baby syndrome, that handicap that we have that can't meet God's measure, that is filthy and dirty and can't be in his presence, "and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." He died for you. Now you die for him so you can rise up a new creature. Just like we're going to have with Drew this morning.